The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon, to the saints and servants of God. Peace and prosperity unto you. Shalom, shalom. That's one of them words. Shalom is one of them Hebrew words that has several meanings. But it's like saying aloha in Hawaii, you know. Can you use shalom for bye, hello, peace, good health to you, all these kind of concepts. So shalom to everybody today. And I'm glad you have tuned in today and that you are you're as excited about learning things about God's word as I am. And it is exciting to learn about God's word, because we are definitely in the end times. We're moving in that way. I just saw a video someone sent me here yesterday about the red heifers that are in Israel. They said in about another year they'll be ready for sacrifice, as long as the color of their colors don't change. When I say colors change, I mean they don't even find a white hair or a black hair or any hair that's not red. And even the hooves of these red heifers are red. And they have them in Israel right now. But they got to be, you know, about 3 years old before they sacrifice it. So they said another year, possibly around this time of next year, around Passover or Pentecost period of time, they could be sacrificing it. They say they have people ready to do it. They have got a spot on the Mount of Olives where it traditionally was always offered on top of Mount of Olives. They have that secured. And so everything is moving forward. You know, they're excavating the Pool of Siloam. Not that they have to get the water out of the Pool of Siloam, but that stream that feeds that pool that's turned into the Israeli water carrier company right now, but they can get the water from that area. But it would be kind of cool to actually get it from the Pool of Siloam like they did in the temple days. And they're excavating that pool right now. Let me talk about that a little bit, about excavating that pool. That was, I've been to Israel 14 times, including two large archaeological digs. And I've seen that pool many times. The ruins of it, and I always thought it was kind of, you know, they say it was the size of an Olympic-sized swimming pool, but I never could quite figure out how that was. And then finally somebody, the tour guide, pointed it out to me one time. Well, see that bank right there? Says, yeah, that's the bank of the Pool of Siloam. And I says, well, that would be huge. And he goes, right, it's big, like the Olympic-sized swimming pool. So it was owned by the Greek Orthodox Church, and they never really did anything with it. You know, the place was all fenced in and chain linked in, and there was all kinds of trash and bushes and even trees growing out of it. But Israel got permission from the Greek Orthodox Church to excavate it. And I'm so thrilled about that, because the Pool of Siloam is a very important landmark in the Bible. And so they're excavating it now, and I saw pictures of the excavation. They're moving along quite well. It's beginning to expose all the banks and area of the Pool of Siloam. But the problem is that they still got to probably plaster it or seal it off. Even if they want to fill it with water, they've got to be able to seal it off. And so whether they will actually do that or not, I don't know. Like I said, they can always, the water that feeds that from that underground stream, they can still get water from it regardless, so they can get the water they need for the ashes of the red heifer. Now, what do I mean to get the water from the ashes of the red heifer? Well, they take that when they sacrifice the red heifer, they will take it to the Mount of Olives, a specific spot where they would turn the head of the red heifer toward the temple spot or Holy of Holies, and then they would sacrifice the cow there. Then they would burn it along with hyssop and cedar wood. They'd burn it, and then they'd pound all the ashes into fine ashes, put them in containers, the ashes. And then when you want to cleanse something that's defiled by death, you put a pinch of the ashes in it along with the water like from the Pool of Siloam or from the water source that feeds that pool. And then you sprinkle that on somebody and they're cleansed from the defilement of death. And this is the interesting thing about the red heifer. You can read this in Numbers 19 if you're interested in researching it out, you know, Book of Numbers, chapter 19. So anybody that's defiled by death, you know, what, it kind of explains what defiled by death is in those chapters. But it says that if you ever walked over land, you know, where somebody had died, or you ever touched a dead body, or been around somebody that's dead, or whatever, you're defiled. And the only way to get cleansed is by the sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer and the water upon you. It's said that there's been 9 red heifers since the time the first one was killed with Moses and Aaron. However, the rabbis say when the 10th red heifer comes, then so will the Messiah. What they didn't realize was that the 10th red heifer was, in fact, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. He was the red heifer because he cleansed us all from the defilement of death. He's the one that did it. And so we all have death upon us because of the sins of Adam. We're born with that. You know, it's the evil inclination that was put upon us, or original sin, whatever way you want to put it. But we're born into sin. That's why it says all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the sprinkling of the red heifer in the water, red heifer ashes in the water on you, cleanses you from the defilement of death. So they say they need that before they could build the temple in Jerusalem. They have to cleanse the land. Because, you know, Jerusalem, there's so many, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people have died in that area over battles over several millennia here. So it has to be cleansed. And so everybody kept waiting and said, well, where's the temple? We're gonna build a temple and all this kind of stuff. And going, well, yeah, but it has to be cleansed first. The land has to be cleansed. And you have to have people that are clean to do it. Well, Israel says they have men that are clean, cleansed, and can do it. So this is getting to be very interesting what's taking place here. Defining a red heifer alone is a major task. And believe it or not, they found their red heifers in Texas, and then they had them shipped to Israel. And I think they brought like 5 of them in, just in case one of them gets disqualified in the process of growing up to be 3 years old. So they're constantly being monitored. They're put in a secure, safe place because obviously there's got to be enemies out there that don't want the red heifer to survive because they don't want a temple to be built. So they're hiding the red heifers, and I've seen pictures of them. I've seen videos of them. They're for real. They're there. They're in the land of Israel, and they say they need another year so before they can do this. So this is very interesting because, you know, when I wrote my book, The Signs and Times of the Coming of the Messiah, I pointed out that, you know, basically 2023 is going to be a major earmarked time for the signs in the Bible of the coming of the Messiah. Doesn't mean he's coming then. It just means many things are going to get triggered in the next year or two, big time. We, you know, the end is not near. The end is here, folks, and we got to be ready for it. All these signs are all beginning to take place. Also, I want to tell you, too, that there was a move there for a while in Israeli government to pass a law to go after any Christian who shares the gospel and put them in prison for a year, and for 2 years if it was a child. And so Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, said here a few days ago that that isn't going to happen. He would never sign that bill. So the Christians are our friends. But it just shows you the undercurrents here that there are people in Israel that want to do in Christians. And but Benjamin Netanyahu, being a smart man, he made a public announcement that isn't going to happen. Don't worry about it. That bill will never get past this desk. And more than likely, even the Knesset itself, their parliament, would not allow it to go either. But you do have these radical ultra-Orthodox Jews in the Knesset that want to pass these kind of laws. Why do they want to pass those kind of laws? Because obviously they're freaking out because more and more Jews are beginning to receive Yeshua as a Messiah. And they're getting very nervous about seeing all these Jews that are becoming Christians. Well, you don't really become Christian per se. You're a Jew that believes in your Messiah. You never stop being a Jew. You don't convert from a Jew to a Christian. Your DNA doesn't rearrange itself. You're suddenly not a Jew anymore, but now you're a Christian. It doesn't happen that way. You're a Jew that believes in the Messiah, Jesus the Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. You're a Jew that believes in your own Messiah now. Some people like to use the word he's a completed Jew. I guess that's okay. But this is what's taking place out there. And things are heating up everywhere. The persecution against Christians are growing like crazy. And we know that from the book of Revelation, that it says that this will take place. You know, in Revelation chapter 5, it talks about the martyrs being under the golden altar, crying out, how long, O Lord, till you avenge our blood? And the Lord replied back to him, says, in a little while, more of you still got to die yet that are scheduled to die. And I did not realize that martyrs were appointed to die, but I guess God knows who they are and who they're going to be. But then I pointed out to some people the other day, chapter 34, which I believe is about talking about the first part of it, talking about the martyrs too. Because it says the Lord has a sword in heaven, and that sword is bathed with the blood of rams, bulls, and goats, and kidneys of rams. And then he said, now is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and he's coming down upon the earth with his sword. So people thought that was just basically a judgment against the world. Well, it is a judgment against the world, especially upon Edom, is a symbolism of the world. But the sword bathed in heaven. Now, why would the Lord have a sword bathed in heaven with blood of rams, bulls, and goats, and kidneys, and all that kind of sort? Well, those are the types of things that are offered as clean sacrifices to the Lord, so that they would be holy. So a clean sacrifice to the Lord is not the wicked. So that sword in heaven is bathed with the blood of the martyrs. That's what he's talking about. So when a certain amount of martyrs die, then the judgment of God will fall down upon this earth. That's what Isaiah 34 is talking about. And then you can read the rest of Isaiah 34, and you definitely can see God's judgment against the world in that chapter. So that's a good one to read. But I believe that sword is bathed in heaven with blood. It's talking about the blood of the martyrs, not the blood of the wicked that the Lord slain. He will do that, but why would he have a sword in heaven with the blood of the wicked on it? You know, that's not what he's talking about. We do know that Yeshua is coming back, and his garments will be dipped in blood because he will destroy the wicked off the face of the earth. Now, that one would be the blood of the wicked. So anyway, so the reason I'm saying that is that the martyrs is definitely a trigger point for the returning of the Messiah. So as we see martyrdom increasing, particularly through the beast of Revelation, then you know time will be short before the Lord comes back. And I pointed out many people before about Hosea chapter 5 and 6, that the Lord will come down, leave his place, and come down and visit his people, but will be rejected. Then he returns back to his place. There's only one person that ever came out of his place and returned back to his place, and that was Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So then it says, after 2 days, he will return. Well, when you speak in prophetic terms, a day is as 1,000 years. So a day as 1,000 years. So if he ascended back into heaven in around 30 A.D., 2 days later will be 2,030. So where are we at today? We're in 2023, 7 years away from 2030. So, and we still got the 7 year tribulation to go through. That would make it beginning of the tribulation around 2023. But we can't pick exact times or exact dates on these things. So it could be a few years off either way. But it tells you, it's knocking at the door. And this is coming real quick. And we got to learn to walk in the brilliancy of his light and be obedient to him. Because he's coming real soon. And we don't want to be ashamed. That's why Yeshua himself said, you know, that he will come as a thief in the night. He'll catch you unawares. So be ready at all times. Wow. So a lot of exciting things going on in the world, too. You know, we see Russia and China building up with their armaments and wars in Ukraine. We see that Iran's right on the edge of having an atomic bomb, and Israel's threatening to make sure they don't. So, you know, we could see in the next few months, Israel launch a major bombing campaign in Iran and try to destroy their nuclear capabilities. Because Iran has said many times they were going to use a nuclear bomb to finish off Israel. They have threatened Israel. They have told Israel they're going to do this. So Israel's going to take them at face value that they're going to try to do what they say they're going to do, and Israel's going to eliminate their nuclear program. And so, of course, we know Iran, which is also Persia, is one of the countries mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, final war, and Iran is in that. So Iran will not be destroyed. I mean, Israel could slow them down a little bit and hurt them, but Iran won't be destroyed because they will attack Israel in the last days, along with many other nations that's mentioned in Ezekiel and Psalms 83. So, you know, and I pointed out to somebody the other day saying that, look at all these nations mentioned in Psalms 83. All these nations that are coming against Israel, and God will destroy these nations. You go through that and you see all the names of those nations, and you realize they all exist today, and they're all Islamic. This is very interesting that they're all Islamic nations. Every one of them mentioned in Psalms 83, and all of them that are mentioned pretty much in Ezekiel 38 and 39 chapters, they're all Islamic nations today. So no time and period of history have we lined up something like that. So that's just another sign that these things are coming, and they're coming really fast, and we have to be on guard and keep looking up. These are amazing times that's going to take place. And one aspect is exciting. It's exciting to know that the Lord's coming. But the other aspect is kind of scary when you think about it. Because also in Revelation, it tells us that when the Lord appears in the heavens and he's getting ready to come, probably as the sign of the Son of Man, it says that men will run in the caves and say, fall on us, rocks, fall on us, hide us from the Lamb, from his wrath, from the wrath of the Lamb. And there, of course, the Lamb is Yeshua. And so these people are willing, instead of repenting, and it actually says that in Revelation, they repented not. So instead of repenting and ask for forgiveness and try to get cleansed and get right with God, they'll run in the caves and actually want the rocks to kill them and smash them so they don't have to face the wrath of the Lamb. That must be pretty scary stuff to say, rocks fall on me and smash me so I don't have to face the Lamb. Well, they're going to have to face the Lamb one way or another anyway. So it's kind of a crazy thing that it talks about in Revelation. But it will, you know, but that's how scary it will be when people realize that the sign of the Son of Man appear in the heaven and here, and then people running in the caves and want to be squished by rocks. The other aspect of that is when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, the nations will begin to gather together to make war against the Lamb. Can you imagine that? The nations coming together making war against the Lamb of God. That's how convoluted logic will be at that time and the great deceptions that will take place at that time. and all around the world there will be all kinds of spiritual wickedness taking place and spiritual creatures coming from the sky and bottomless pit and everything else all over the place. It will be a time of terror, actually a terrible time of terror, like it says in Daniel chapter 12, be a time of tribulation unlike anything we have ever seen before on the earth will come, will begin. And you think about all the terrible things that's always happened on this earth, you know, and including the Holocaust, the Inquisitions, pogroms, all these things, Lord, or that the Lord is aware of that took place on this earth. And then he's going to send a tribulation unlike anything we've ever experienced before. It's going to be bad, really bad. When the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials are poured out, it's going to be an amazing time going on in the world. I don't mean amazing as fun or exciting in that way. It's going to be something that's never been seen before. But believers, as God protected the Hebrews in the land of Egypt during the time of Pharaoh, he will protect us too, watch after us. And we got to keep our eyes on him and stay focused on him, because these are definitely times, end times we're coming into. You know, wherever I go and wherever I preach, including overseas, India, Africa, and stuff like that, I ask a question, everybody. How many here know that we're in the last days? And every hand goes up. Every hand goes up. And I say, well, why did you raise your hand? And then they kind of look at you like deer in headlights, you know. I don't know. We know it is. Well, good. That's the right answer. Because God's spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that we are indeed in the last days. God is speaking to you. And it's what actually says in the Bible, that God will do nothing except reveal it to the prophets first. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have prophecy in you. You're a type of a prophet. So when the Holy Spirit is in you, you get this sense in you that it is the last days. You feel it. You know it's happening. And so that's why you know. You know that you know that you know. It's the same thing as why how you know that you're saved, that you know that you know that you know. It's God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, which is God, you know, then God is in you. That's what makes you the temple of the Lord. Then he speaks to you. Even if you can't pinpoint exactly in word or scriptures, whatever, what's happening, you sense it. You feel it inside of you because of God's Spirit. And that's what's happening. God's Spirit is revealing to his people. We are in the last days to prepare ourselves. Get ready. Prepare yourselves and wash your clothes clean. And I'm talking about spiritually. Be ready to meet the Lord himself. So these are important things we have to understand. These days are upon us. They're coming on us fast. And it'll be knocking at the door before you know it. We're in the 120th Jubilee. That's another since Adam, so that's another sign. Been 6,000 years since Adam. That's another sign. The third day concept after Yeshua, that's another sign. There's so many signs it's spoken of in the Bible, how you know you're in the last days. And we are definitely in the last days. That's why I say the end is not near. The end is here. It's just a matter of a little more clicks off the clock, and it's all coming real quick. But it's exciting in a way that you're going to soon see the Messiah, but it's also scary of all the things that's got to come between now and then. So you have to be alert and ready for those things. Well, so much for that one. this class, this lesson this week, it kind of went by fast. The next thing I know, the clock's run out on me. So we are winding down here for this lesson. Come join me next week. We're going to be talking about the barley first fruits, which is very important to understand. The barley first fruits, which is when Yeshua rose from the dead. And we're going to talk about that also. So, all right, well, God bless everybody. And you have a marvelous time. And in the Lord, always. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.